Dearly beloved of the Lord,
you know, we praise and thank God that for this opportunity God has given to minister God's word. When we think about Hope BP Church, our hearts are filled with gladness and joy, because we know that the Hope Church has not just been a blessing to the brothers and sisters who are in this church, but has been a blessing to many other churches. And we thank God for Pastor Key and Session, who has been also in the church, who has prayed for Ebenezer BP Church and also for their help during the time of need. You know, may God's name be magnified and glorified, and may God help us all to follow Him. Turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, and we have in our in this holy pages of God's word a parable of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus, in his short ministry on this earth, often spoke in parables, and there are close to 40 parables recorded in the scriptures. And parables are short stories which our Lord Jesus Christ gave, which was often made of daily activities which were widely known, so that people can easily recognize what those stories are. But to bring out a spiritual truth which was in Jesus' mind. You know, the Greek word for parable is parabola. It comes from two words. You know, Greek word para, which means beside, and the second word, balo, which means to cast. So parable is to cast beside a similar familiar story, so that you can recognize that unfamiliar idea or truth which is going to be conveyed. And Jesus used parables to illustrate that heavenly meanings of many beautiful truth that we find in the scriptures. Parables are like illustrations. You know, it brings a one or two important point. It casts out light. And Jesus used this parable. And we thank God for Jesus, the master teacher, who taught us in simple ways profound truth. And here in Luke chapter 19, verses 11 to 27, we have the parable of the 10 pounds. Well, we often confuse the parable of 10 pounds with the parable of talents that is given in Matthew chapter 25. But both these parables are different. You know, we find in the place where the parable of 10 pounds is given is in Jericho, where Jesus just ministered to Zacchaeus, who was all eager to see the master, and the master went into Zacchaeus' home, fellowshiped with him. He repented of his sins and came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he was planning to go to Jerusalem, you know, 17 miles east of Jerusalem, Jesus gives this parable of 10 pounds. But when we think about the parable of talents, it was a chain of parables that Jesus Christ gave to remind about the end times. And to the disciples' private question, what will the end times be like? Not just their place was different, the audience was different. Here, the audience is the disciples, the Pharisees, who have just seen Jesus ministering to Zacchaeus. But in Matthew 25, it is all about the disciples. And the lesson that Jesus wanted to teach, the context that we find in the parable of the 10 pounds and also the parable of talents is different. There the thought was about Jesus is coming soon and the end times is like this. But here in Luke chapter 19, we are told, why did Jesus give the parable? And in Luke chapter 19, if you turn your Bibles and read verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God shall immediately appear. So here in Luke chapter 19, Jesus is giving the parable because the disciples has this erroneous idea. Or the people who were following the Lord Jesus Christ had this erroneous idea that the kingdom of God is going to soon appear and Jesus is going to enter Jerusalem to bring his kingly rule. So we find in Matthew 25 and Luke 19 is two different parables, but there are many similarities that obviously we all know of. Both the parables talks about certain facts. It is about a master, a nobleman, who was present, who entrusted a job, who went far away with a promise that he will return, and he came back and asked accounts for all that was entrusted to him. So on those things, those two parables are pretty much similar. And in Luke chapter 19, there are three facts that we can find. You know, to put it simply, the three truths that we can learn from Luke chapter 19, verses 11 to 27. And the first truth that we can learn is the fact of our Lord Jesus Christ's return. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Look to verse 12. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And now read verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, the promise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's very obvious for us as we read this parable that that nobleman is referring to Jesus Christ. The faraway country is referring to heaven. And the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is being described in what is given in verse 15, that he did return. And that is a fact. One day our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And today we all are at verse 11 to 14. Our Master has not returned yet. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who promised that he is coming again and his promise stands, verse 15 is one day going to happen. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, but one thing is sure, it is soon. It is 2,000 years nearer, and our Master's promise that he is coming again is going to be true. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be when our Lord Jesus Christ returned. Well, in the Bible we know there is an incident called the triumphant entry, found in all the four Gospels. The only time when Jesus so-called assumed that role of king. And when people sang, Hosanna, save us King, Hosanna to the highest. Now, one day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. He is coming again, and he will come gloriously. He will come visibly. He will come in great power as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is one thing that the parable tells us, that this is not the only parable that the scripture tells about Christ's return. You think about the parable of the 10 virgins. Five were watching and waiting for the Master's return, and the other five, who knew also about the Master's return, went their way and never thought about the master's soon return. And surely the master returned. And when the master returned, some were ready and some were not. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew that we all have a trembling heart, troubled heart. And then in John chapter 14, you know, as he prepared the disciples to the way of the cross that he's about to take and his departure and from this earth, he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go, just like the nobleman, I go. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." That is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ speaking to the disciples. You know, so as we wait from verses 11 to 4, and as we look forward, our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us not only not to have a troubled heart, but to prepare ourselves for that coming of the Lord. You know, many times we read verses John chapter 14 and we get lost in the mansions that God is going to prepare. That is not the greatest truth in John chapter 14. The greatest truth is not the mansions, but the greatest truth is so that where I am, there you may be also. You know, we look forward to the Christ return. And so when we leave on this earth, we think about Christ. Because the Master has promised he is coming again. Revelation 22 verses 19 to 21, which reminds us that, you know, the God's prophecy is true. No man can add, no man can delete. And then it says in verse 20, you know, "He that testified this thing saith, Behold, I come quickly." And the answer is, "Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." The scripture ends with this beautiful declaration that is about to happen. The promise yet to be fulfilled. Jesus is coming again. "Behold, I come quickly." And what a wonderful, glorious day that will be. And all the children of God, all the wise virgins who are waiting for the Master's return and know that Jesus is coming again, says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." We are waiting. We are watching. The fact of Christ's return. And if God has delayed his coming, there is only one reason. Scripture tells us in 2 Peter 3, 9, "The Lord is not slow in promise, as you count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance." And we thank God that God, in his divine timing, delayed, that many more has believed. You know, and that not only tells us about the urgency of sharing the gospel, but it also tells us about the grace and the goodness and the mercies of God towards sinners and also towards wandered, you know, children who has gone far away like the prodigal son. And the Lord brings them back to his own. 1 Thessalonians 5, "Once you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Well, it may be, it may interest you to know that this parable is also based on actual historical event. 40 years ago, before Jesus gave this parable, there were some things that happened in the land of Jericho, Judea, Jerusalem, in Israel. We know that the power that ruled the country at that time and many other countries was Rome. You know, and Caesar was the ultimate king and had power and control. You know, people paid respect to Caesar's power and authority and paid taxes to Caesar. But Romans were very wise, and they knew how to mingle with the people over whom they rule. And they had appointed people of authority, and they were given the title of king, King Herod the Great. And after the King Herod the Great, you know, after he died, you know, three of his sons, you know, divided the kingdom and ruled over it. And one of the son, you know, Archelaus, who wanted power, you know, who wanted to show authority, murdered 3,000 Jews to create fear in the minds of those whom he's about to rule. And as he went to Rome and to assume the power of a king under the great rule of Caesar, the Jews sent a delegation of 8,000 Jews to oppose, to reject, you know, Archelaus as their king. And Caesar, being wise, you know, listened to that large delegation and rejected Archelaus as a king, but only gave him a much lower title, you know, which had limited power and control. And Archelaus was, who had a palace in Jericho. And it was almost like a 9/11 incident for the Israelites and to those who are at Jericho. And as Jesus gave this parable about a nobleman, about a nobleman going far away and about all the rejections that he faced, it would have ringed bell to all the Jews who are hearing about a king who wanted to rule over them. But what was the difference between Herod the Great and his son Archelaus and Jesus? Jesus came to save that which was lost. And that is the context that we find. If you look to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke 19 and verse 10. We are told, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And in verse 11 we are told, "As they heard these things, he added, saying." The big difference. One king wanted to rule over the people by threat, by fear, by murder. But Jesus did not come for that kingly rule. He came to save and to seek that which was lost. And Jesus is reminding that the nobleman has come into this world for a great work. And that great work happens in our heart. And that is to save us, you know, and to save us spiritually, for we all are sinners and we need Jesus. And Jesus did not come to bring civil change, straighten our civil inequalities or economic justice, but Jesus came to save and to that which was, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's why Jesus can say in Luke chapter 17 and verse 21 that the kingdom of God is within you, the great work that God is doing. So what is the first fact that we learn is our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. You know, and he came the first time to save us, and second time he's going to come as a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, and the kingdom that it is representing is a kingdom that is present in the in our hearts. We'll come to the second point, the fact that the nobleman, when he went away, entrusted us with a job. And the job we find in verse 13. "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come." Our Lord Jesus Christ gave uniformly. There was a uniformity and equal pounds to 10 different servants and gave them a charge to occupy with God's business. You know, what does that represent? What does every pound represent? Now, every pound represents every good and perfect things that God has given to us. We know that God has given to us gospel being at its center. You know, the gospel by which we came to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God has given us general providence of God. God has given us life. God has given us time. God has given us natural gifts and talents, and also spiritual gifts and talents. God has given us the Word of God. God has given to us opportunities to serve Him. And these all is given by our good God. As He went to the far country and told us with that charge, occupy till I come. And to the servants, the slaves, He was not abusing them or ruling over them in an abusive way, but it was a call to that trustworthy servant. Do God's business. Do what God has given to you. Not occupy the pews, but occupy with God's work till I come. I mean, it is very interesting in the Greek word, the business there, the word is pragma, from where we get the word pragmatic, you know, things that work. You know, use what God has given to you, your life, your time, your talents, the truth, God's word, your resources, whatever God has given to you, use it for God's work. And there are only three approaches that we find in this parable. You know, there are two were the approaches of, one was the approach of the faithful one, and the other the false one or the unfaithful one. And also we see the response of those who did not want Jesus to be their king. Look to verse 14. You know, verse 14, we are told about a group. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. The word citizen shows everybody that God has created in this world, God is their sovereign ruler and king. They belong to him. They may be an atheist, they may be a person who believes in something else, but God is the sovereign ruler and king. You know, and one day our Lord Jesus Christ comes again, just like as Philippians 2 reminds us, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, Jesus is Lord. And these citizens hated him. The attitude that they had was self-sufficiency. We are kings. We are God. We don't need God. Fools say in their heart, there is no God. You know, they were enemies. So they have nothing to do with Jesus. They have nothing to do with gospel, truth, God's word. They have nothing to do with glorifying God or thinking about God. They were apathetic towards God. They were only thinking about themselves. But there was another group that is represented here. We don't know how many servants out of the 10 were like that, but at least we know one who was not faithful. And we find that in verse 20. Verse 20 of Luke chapter 19. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. And that is the second approach that we find. The one who was not faithful. Well, if you think for a while, he did not do anything that is very wrong, did he? He did not embezzle the money. He did not go against the nobleman saying that he is false. He just did what he thought he wanted to do. He just go and hide it in a napkin very nicely. It's almost like putting a Bible in a shelf very safely. Or giving excuses for not doing God's work, but not saying anything against the church or Jesus Christ or God's work. Just being silent. Just being quiet. He had a soft heart towards Jesus. He may have attended the church on some occasions, but he did not bother about extending God's kingdom. No, he only thought about what he wanted to do. He went his way to do his things and forgot completely about what God has given to him, because he has kept everything safe in a napkin for another time. And there was a second approach that he took. But we know that this man did not meet the approval of the nobleman when he returned. Well, there is a third group that we find, the group that we all must represent. And that is the response to what the nobleman said when he went far away. Occupy till I come. And that response we find in verse 16. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. In verse 18, the second man came in a similar way and said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. Well, what was good about these two servants of the Lord Jesus Christ? They were faithful. They remembered Jesus' word. Jesus was an important, and is an important person in their life. They were the trustworthy servant. They were not just offering lip service, but they loved Jesus. They understood what agape love is all about. They understood what it means to honor Christ. They understood what it means to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow Jesus Christ, to put God first in their life. They had a commitment towards God. They thought about God's work. They thought about how we can progress it further, individually, collectively. They thought about how God's name can be further magnified and glorified. Now they always remembered Jesus Christ, even though the nobleman was absent and was not directly watching over what they were doing. And they were faithful. They loved Jesus, honored Jesus, respected Jesus, and they were called the trustworthy servants by our Lord Jesus Christ. They took God's word seriously. They took God at His word when he said, occupy. They took it as take it and invest it. You know, they were not interested in Christ. I mean, if you look carefully in Luke chapter 19, Jesus did not say, if you occupy till I come, I am going to give you 10 cities. He did not say that. He did not say that if they occupy till I come, I will give you a portion of the profits that you will make. They were not interested in the price. They were interested in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because they loved Jesus Christ. They knew Jesus came to save and to seek that which was lost. And this is my Master. This is my Savior, who has given His everything when He first came on the Calvary cross and died for me. What more do I need? And if He says, occupy till I come, He will come. And I will live for this Savior. I will live for this Savior. And they gave everything that they had to fulfill what God has commanded. They had the right theology. He says, thy pound has gained 10 pounds or 5 pounds. You know, it reminds us, you know, all that we have. You know, all that we have. Not just the things that we see. No, but all the manifold spiritual blessings that God has done in our life, you know, comes from our Lord and God. You know, and all that we can do and achieve in our life, in our ministry, also comes by the grace and the blessings of God. Thy pound has gained 10 pounds. You know, so herein, you know, is the important lesson of faithfulness that we find. You know, and obviously, we all need to ask what kind of servant or what kind of a person we are in this parable. You know, are we like those who hear God's word but put everything in a very nice napkin and put it aside? Husbands need to remember all the teachings that the Bible talks about. Husbands, love your wife as Christ has loved the church. Wives need to remember all that the scripture talks about. Children need to remember all that the scripture talks about. Honor thy father and mother in the Lord. You know, and we all need to remember all the other teachings that God has given to us. And give importance to God's work. But there is another fact that we find in this parable. And that is not only the fact of Christ is coming again, or the fact that God has entrusted with a job, but we all are accountable. We are accountable to what God has entrusted us, and there will be a day of reckoning. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive that is due him for the things done while in body, whether it be good or bad." You know, there is a time of reckoning or for the enemies. We find in verse 14 there is this group of citizens who hated him and sent a message after him saying, "We will not have this man to rule over us." There was a day of reckoning for them in verse 27. "But these mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." All those who hate Jesus and has nothing to do with Jesus and are anti-Christian and do all persecute Christians in many persecuted countries, there is a day of reckoning for them. Just like what verse 27 reminds us. You know, here we find the image of Jesus not as a cuddly teddy bear who is always going to be loving and caring, soft and uplifting and encouraging, but also God who is just and he will judge righteously. And all those who don't belong to him, well, God will judge them and they will be rejected and cast into the hell. Well, even though we are not told what happened to these enemies or even to the third, that servant, but in Matthew chapter 25, we are told they were not only called wicked servant, they were cast into the, thrown into hell. Well, similarly, we find the second servant who was not faithful to God. You know, God said in verse 19, 21 and 22, "For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow." And he said unto him, "Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore thou givest thy money into the bank, that at my coming I might be required mine own with usury." Well, here we find the second man had a lot of excuses to give to God. But in God's eyes, he was not a born-again child. Because Jesus calls here, or in this parable, the nobleman calls him wicked servant. Those who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good and have experienced the grace of God in their life will respond to that grace by being faithful unto God, being obedient unto God. But those who reject God in their heart but offer a lip service only to God, who care less, who does not bother about God, or have all these wrong theologies about God. God is a strict, harsh. That's what it means, a stir. Means severe, harsh, strict, ungracious, unfair, cutthroat, ruler. How can our God, who is good all the time, you know, be any of this? Calling God a thief. You take that which you did not give. Such a man has not experienced the grace of God. You know, Judas was one of them. You know, and there are many in this world who are like this. But we who belong to God, who have experienced the grace of God, you know, we respond to the God's opportunities that God has given to us. You know, and by like the first and the second servant, where we say, thy pound has multiplied. And here it is, O Lord. Well, this parable teaches us not only the importance of faithfulness unto God, but also the seriousness when we are not faithful to God. You know, and it's a challenge that comes to us all, that we all ought to be faithful. Compare that, the third servant who was unfaithful, who hid everything, who did not think about God, to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, who just experienced the grace of God, he was willing to not only repent with his heart and his mouth, but also in his practice, to return back four times more, to give everybody, to do more for Jesus. And that is a truly born-again Christian. No, we must respond like the true servants who are faithful, not like this third slave. You know, Matthew Henry said on the fate of the third servant, whoever is not ruled by the grace of Christ will be ruined by the wrath of Christ. Well, the first and second servant reminds us, and all the rewards that they got reminds us of our Lord Jesus Christ is a faithful God. You know, it was in fact in Luke chapter just a few chapters before only, when we are told about the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and wanted to have eternal life, who followed Jesus in all the aspects. And when Jesus says sell everything and follow him, he was sad. You know, and he went away because his heart was not right. His heart was still covetous. You know, and Peter was very quick and came to Jesus and said, we have left everything to follow you. And Jesus said, whoever has left to follow me will get 100 times more. 100 times more. And here in Luke chapter 19, we have this example of our master faithfully rewarding a pound which he gave, which is like 3 months' wages, 100 days' wages, and then equating it to 10 cities. Giving him much more. And that is God's grace. That is God's goodness unto us. I mean, all the things that we have received is not because of what we deserve in that sense, but it's God's grace and goodness, because he always is generous in how he rewards us. You know, and here, the servants who honored him, who served him, who loved him, who were trustworthy, who showed affection, who sincerely loved Jesus and wanted to lift up his name, God gave them higher call and made them in charge of 10 cities, probably referring to the millennium and the rules and the rule of these faithful will rule over many. But what we can learn from here is our God is faithful and His promises are true. And we all ought to be obedient and faithful until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. So herein I would like to apply and ask every one of us, as we wait in verse 14 and wait for our Master's return, you know, can you think about the pawns that which God has given to us? Gospel and all the things that God has given to us, and His command that is given to us, occupy till I come, and ask yourself, where do you fall in this story? There is rewards for the faithful, rejection for the false, and retribution for the enemies. Where are you? Which group is your group? You know, and all come under that sovereign rule of the king. And if we are, which we, I believe, all of us are, by the grace and the mercies of God, you know, servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, are we faithful? Are we doing what God has commanded to us? Are we right with God? Are we lukewarm Christian who need to repent of our lukewarmness and say, Lord Jesus, I know you as a Savior, but not as a Lord of my life. You stand at my door and knock, and He's asking, you know, can I be the Lord of your life? Can I rule your life in all your ambitions, aspirations? Can Christ be present? Can I be the head of your home? Can, as a family, can you lift the name of Jesus and occupy till I come? In your workplace, can you lift the name of Jesus and occupy till I come? Be faithful. Be faithful until Christ comes again. You know, 1 Corinthians 4, 2 reminds us, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And we all are stewards of the manifold grace of God that God has given to us. And we all ought to be faithful. So this morning, you know, let us all examine our heart, you know, so that our Lord Jesus Christ, when He comes again, you know, we will not be ashamed. But we will hear our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, sweet whisper, even though many times, or all of us, at least for me, I feel that my head will be hung down. But we will hear the whisper of our Lord Jesus Christ in our ear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I knew your struggles. I knew your troubles. I knew all that you went through. But well done, my good and faithful servant. May that be true for every one of us. And this is my prayer. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you. As we hear your word from Luke chapter 19, we know one thing. That the Lord is true. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. His promises are true. And as you have promised, you know, we know, behold, you are coming quickly. And even your children, all those who are blood-bought children, who are bowed their heads in prayer, say exactly like what is given in Revelation, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord, this world is not our home. We are just pilgrims passing through. And we know that you have entrusted to us things that we should occupy. Thank you, Lord, for the life that you have given to us. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the word of God, the ministry, and the many opportunities that you have given to us. Thank you for the family. Thank you for the opportunities that we find to serve one another and even to obey those who are above us. And in all these things, help us, O Lord, to occupy until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. And may you find us faithful. May you find us active in the gospel world. Help us, O Lord, for we are weak, but thou art strong, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Jesus' name.